This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, March 26, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We're going to start with the completion yesterday of the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. One game very close, one game a blowout. Kentucky runs away from Baylor 82-70, and it wasn't even that close. Kentucky got them early, 42-22 at the half. Really just overwhelming. I mean, Kentucky has been, from the get-go, the favorite to win all of this. Syracuse maybe posed a threat. People kind of said Kentucky, Syracuse, the rest of the country. Of course, Syracuse lost Fab Melo right before the tournament, had a couple of close calls, were finally bounced out on Saturday. We'll talk about that as well. But Kentucky, they just seem to come at you in waves. Don't believe the notion. You know, you hear this now. You hear this all the time in college basketball when there's a really good team. Oh, they could go right now into the NBA and beat the Charlotte Bobcats or the New Orleans Hornets. Of course, those things are absurd. Having said that, Kentucky's got a number of first-round picks. This Anthony Davis is a beast. 18 points, 11 rebounds yesterday, 6 for 9 from the field. Of course, everybody, any Kentucky fan, their heart skipped a beat when he bumped knees with Perry Jones III of Baylor. Seemed to be hurt, went out of the game, came back in the game, then seemed to get hurt again. But he does seem to be all right. He does finish with 18 and 11 rebounds. Second in scoring to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who was 7 for 10 from the field, hit his only three-pointer. He had 19 points and 5 rebounds. So that's, you know, I heard Dick Vitale say that's the best 1-2 combination of freshmen he's seen in the last 20 years, and that's probably true. But these guys are just so athletic, so quick. They can do everything. Davis and Kidd-Gilchrist lead Kentucky to a relatively easy 82-70 victory. Deron Lamb with 14 to chip in for Kentucky. Jones with 12 points and 9 rebounds. I mean, again, they just come at you in waves. Kentucky now 36-2. They move on to the Final Four. Baylor finishes at 30-8. Quincy Acey was very good for Baylor, 22 points, 8 rebounds. Jackson with 21. Perry Jones III with 17 points and 8 rebounds, but not enough. Just, frankly, Kentucky just overwhelmed Baylor. Kentucky 82, Baylor 70. Calipari moves on. Coach Calipari moves on to the Final Four. The other game, the final score misleading. Kansas goes to the Final Four, number 2 seed, beating North Carolina, the number 1 seed, 80-67. But in fact, it was a back-and-forth game, tied at 47 at the half. Not a whole lot of scoring in the second half, but Kansas finishes the game on a 12-0 run to really open it up. Obviously, they had the lead 68-67 and scored the last 12 points. Now, if Kansas is going to win the championship, and everybody said this for the first three games, they really needed Tyshawn Taylor to step up. He had a pretty bad tournament until yesterday in a big spot, 10 for 19 from the floor, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. I mean, they really need Taylor to play well, and he played well yesterday. So if he's out of his slump, then, you know, they're going to be very tough in the Final Four as well. Thomas Robinson, he's a monster, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Relaford with 11, Johnson with 10. Withy, 15 points, 3 blocks. He's a presence inside, 8 rebounds as well. So Kansas probably playing at their best right now. Now, again, as you know, North Carolina didn't have Kendall Marshall. He was in street clothes, their point guard. Stillman White did a decent job, but he's not Kendall Marshall. He had 4 points. He did have 7 assists. But frankly, that was a huge loss. No Kendall Marshall for North Carolina really hurt. Harrison Barnes didn't have a very good game, 5 for 14 from the field, including 0 for 5 from 3. He was the guy who needed to really step up, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Tyler Zeller was good, not great, 12 points, 6 rebounds. Michael McAdoo off the bench was the best player for North Carolina, 6 for 8 from the floor, 15 points, 4 rebounds, but not enough. Again, a back-and-forth game until Kansas goes on a 12-0 run late. North Carolina was 2 for their final 13 and missed their last 8 shots. And, of course, that was obviously the difference. As Kansas goes to the Final Four, Kansas the number 2 seed, beating North Carolina the number 1 seed, 80-67. Kentucky, of course, was the number 1 seed in their region. Baylor was the 3 that made it to the Elite 8. Just briefly on the two games on Saturday, because you probably know those results already. Louisville playing a lower seed Florida. Florida dominating early because they shot the lights out from 3. This was the story of Florida all year. Florida 41-33 at the half. They made 8 threes in the first half, but they made no threes in the second half. Louisville comes back from down very late. They were down like 10 or 12 points, and they come back to outscore Florida in the second half, 39-27, and walk away with a 72-68 victory. Louisville, a 4 seed for Rick Pitino. Florida, a 7 seed for Billy Donovan. And you know the relationship there. If you're old enough, you can remember Billy Donovan playing for Rick Pitino at Providence. When Donovan, who was not a fast guard, was not a quick guard, was not a big guard, but was a very good shooter and a really gutty competitor, led an undermanned Providence team to the Final Four for Rick Pitino. Eventually, Donovan would be in the NBA for a couple of years, playing for Rick Pitino as a member of the Knicks when Pitino coached the Knicks, and then an assistant to Pitino. Obviously, eventually went out on his own and carved a fantastic career for himself, Billy Donovan, with those back-to-back national championships a few years ago. At Florida, they made a very surprising run and seemed to have this game in hand. Louisville's point guard, Peyton Siva, fouled out with about 5 minutes left, and despite that, Louisville able to come all the way back to beat Florida 72-68. Robert Smith with 19 off the bench. He was the high scorer. Bahanan, a very good player, 17 points, 7 rebounds. Siva, again, he fouled out, but he did have 9 points, 8 assists, 2 rebounds. So a very good win for Rick Pitino. He said, other than the birth of my 6 children, this yesterday was the happiest day of his life. And again, this team was counted out early. They were kind of undermanned, but they pulled to Connecticut and swept through the Big East tournament this year, and now they're trying to do the same thing that Connecticut did last year, and they've won their first 4 games in the tournament, obviously, to get to the Final Four. So that was Saturday, Louisville 72. They're now 30-9, Florida 68. They finished their season with a 26-11 record. And of course, the other game, you kind of knew Fab Melo, the loss of Fab Melo was going to catch up with Syracuse. They had trouble in earlier games but were able to win. But Saturday, going against a very tough Ohio State team, was playing very well now. Tied at the half, but in the second half, Ohio State pulls away late. Ohio State 77, Syracuse 70. And again, Ohio State has a ton of weapons. You know, Buford has played, except for one game, poorly in the tournament, and he was the star along with Sullinger coming back from last year. Yesterday, Buford only 3 for 12. He did score 13 points and had 9 rebounds, but Deshaun Thomas has really come of age of late, 14 points, 9 rebounds. Sullinger is Sullinger, arguably the best big man in the country, 19 points, 7 rebounds. Aaron Kraft, I think it's true, you heard it a lot this weekend and last weekend, the best on-the-ball defensive point guard in the country. He really wreaks a lot of havoc. Only scored 5 points, but 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a great floor leader. Fouled out in this game, but still got the troops together and urged them on. Ohio State 77, Syracuse 70. Jim Boeheim, I rate with some calls, and I think correctly, But I don't know that it affected the game in terms of the outcome. Scoop Jardine was excellent, 14 points, 6 assists. Trish was very good as well, 15 points. Chris Joseph, 10 points, 2 rebounds. But again, not enough. Syracuse loses, number one seed Syracuse loses and finishes the season at 34-3. Again, they only lost one game when Fab Melo was in their lineup, and they really missed him inside. Now, they had some close calls, Syracuse, but Ohio State finally got him, and obviously Ohio State, the best team that Syracuse has played in the tournament by far. And Ohio State really clicking on all cylinders at the right time. Lenzel Smith for Ohio State, 18 points as well. Only 4 for 10 from the field, but 3 for 6 from 3 and 7 for 9 from the foul line. Ohio State has a lot of weapons now. At the beginning of the year, they were essentially Sullinger and Buford with Kraft kind of running the show, but Kraft has emerged as a better player and a great defender. Thomas has emerged. Smith has emerged. I mean, they essentially play 5 guys. Nobody on the Ohio State bench played more than 9 minutes yesterday, but that 5 now is only 2 games away from giving Thad Matta a national championship. An excellent year for Boeheim, considering especially all the off-the-court stuff that happened with Bernie Fine and the slander lawsuit and some kind of investigation now involving drugs at Syracuse. So there was a lot of off-the-court stuff. And then literally on the eve of the NCAA tournament, losing Fab Melo, their big man, and a lot of people think, hard for me to say for sure, but a lot of people think if Fab Melo had been playing in the tournament specifically in this game, that Syracuse would have won. I can't say that for sure, but certainly he is a big presence inside that they don't have anymore. This sets up an unbelievable semifinal, Final Four game between Louisville and Kentucky. Of course, you know the history probably. Rick Pitino used to coach Kentucky, won a national championship there. Way back when Calipari was trying to get a job at UMass, and I think UMass couldn't afford him, Rick Pitino, a UMass grad, kicked in money so Calipari could be hired, and they were close for a long time. But that, frankly, changed over the years. Look, these guys are great coaches and great competitors. And now with Calipari taking over Kentucky a few years ago and having a bomb squad every year, just losing in the championship game when they couldn't make a foul shot late. Now this sets up arch rivals, obviously Louisville and Kentucky and Kentucky and Lexington. That's an arch rivalry. It's always been kind of Kentucky basketball, even though Denny Crum did great at Louisville. And, of course, Pitino is doing very well at Louisville. Kentucky basketball was always viewed to be a little better than Louisville basketball. But now this could be a match for the ages. You have to give Kentucky the edge on paper. They just have better players. Calipari is an excellent coach. Rick Pitino is an excellent coach. They both coached in the NBA. They both came back to college. Obviously, they're better off in college than the NBA. They did play earlier this year or earlier this season, December 31st, 2011, at Kentucky, and Kentucky won 69-62. So, again, now you'll be on the neutral floor down in New Orleans. So you have to like Kentucky, I think, but Louisville, of course, will do anything, and Pitino will be doing everything he can to win this game. It would be a huge recruiting coup for them. And, of course, Kentucky is Kentucky. Calipari seems to get the best recruits every year. The other game now sets up an Ohio State-Kansas matchup. And, again, Ohio State looked good early on. They slumped a little. Now they're clicking on all cylinders. Kansas as well. If Tyshawn Taylor can play like he played the other day, obviously Kansas is an excellent team. That's a toss-up game. And you know I picked Ohio State to win the national championship before the season started. But then I picked Kansas in the pool when the pool came out the day before the tournament started. And again, just on the theory that somehow Kentucky never quite manages, I think Calipari has been in the Final Four. I think it's 3 times now. This is his 4th. Has not managed to win one. Can he win this one? Well, not only can he win this one, he's the favorite to win this one. But those are your matchups next Saturday, Louisville and Kentucky, Ohio State and Kansas, number one seed Kentucky, 2-2s Ohio State and Kansas, and Louisville is a 4th seed. That's your Final Four next week. As we get closer to the end of the week, obviously we'll talk more about it. But Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas, and Ohio State, move on to the Final Four in the NCAA basketball tournament. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 60508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL in a little bit. First, some miscellaneous stuff. Of course, the big news in golf, Tiger Woods finally wins the tournament. You probably know the numbers, 2.5 years, 27 tournaments, PGA tournaments that he had not won. But now, yesterday, he wins the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, going away by 5 strokes, shoots a 70, finishes the tournament 13 under, beats Graham McDowell by 5, and of course, this is now, he's back, he's ready, the Masters is in a couple of weeks, and we'll just have to see. Tiger Woods playing better, putting better. He said afterwards he's getting better, he's getting healthy, he's been able to practice. Some people are saying don't call it a comeback because Tiger had been injured, etc., but I don't know. It's been an awful long time, and I'm still not a believer in terms of him getting to 19 majors, but I think the Masters will tell us a lot now. He is playing better than he's played, obviously, for a couple of years now. He did say yesterday he was close in a number of tournaments. He had the lead in a number of tournaments. He just couldn't finish, but he finished yesterday like the Tiger of old, who, when he was on the lead, virtually never lost. I think he's lost once in his career when he was on the lead. So yesterday, he pulls away. He wins by 5 strokes. One sad note at the end, Arnold Palmer, this was the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and Tiger Woods won it for a record 7th time. But Arnold Palmer was there to congratulate. This is a Bay Hill down in Orlando where Tiger Woods lives. Arnold Palmer was 82 years old now, supposed to congratulate him, but literally 15 minutes before the end of the tournament, they were monitoring Palmer's blood pressure because he had just had a change in medication. His blood pressure became high. They had to take him right to the hospital, kept him overnight for observation. Seems everything's okay today, but he was not there to congratulate Tiger on his victory. But now Woods certainly going the right way. You probably know the numbers. In addition to Nicholas 18, Woods 14 in majors, the all-time PGA Tour wins is Sam Snead 82, Jack Nicklaus 73, Tiger Woods with this win yesterday, 72 career PGA wins. Again, that's a staggering number. And when you understand that Tiger has been in 279 PGA events, well, that's unbelievable because that's over 25% of victory rate. So that means Tiger, when he shows up to 4 tournaments, he wins 1 on average. So it's all about majors for Tiger. This is a great setup for him. He'll work on his game the next 10 days, and then he'll be in the Masters. And he probably will be one of the favorites now in the Masters off of this win. But Tiger Woods winning a PGA tournament for the first time since September 2009, cruises to a 5-stroke win in the Arnold Palmer Invitational over Graham McDowell. And for Tiger Woods fans, obviously, and for golf fans, frankly, you know, the problem is it's all Tiger all the time, and I don't think that's the best thing in the world for golf, but apparently the people who cover golf think it is because that's how it's covered. But we'll see now. This sets up for him to do well, maybe even win the Masters. We'll just see what happens. That's in 2 weeks, of course. A sad note, Bert Sugar, who you probably know is a member of the Boxing Hall of Fame and an excellent boxing writer and commentator. If you don't know his name, you know him by the fedora he always wore and the cigar he always had in his mouth. A very bright guy. He died over the weekend at 75 of a heart attack. He was fighting lung cancer. He's the author of The 100 Greatest Boxers of All Time. I actually know him a little bit. I lived in Chappaqua, which was his longtime residence. He used to hold court on the train ride home from Grand Central Station to Chappaqua and used to talk to anybody and everybody and encyclopedic memory. But I also was interested in him as a baseball writer. He was a brilliant baseball guy as well. He wrote a very good book on the Hall of Fame that's about the Hall of Fame itself, not just all the players in the Hall of Fame, but the building, the contents, all the other aspects of the Hall of Fame. 1936 to 2012. Bert Sugar dies at the age of 75, wrote over 80 books, but again, was the main guy if you needed to know something about anything in the history of boxing going all the way back to the early 20th century. Bert Sugar was a very bright man, actually had a law degree and an MBA from Michigan, never practiced law, but obviously a well-educated, well-versed, intelligent, well-spoken guy, and a bit of a comedian as well. Always had a story. Came on TV a lot, certainly in the New York area, was involved with HBO and the boxing shows that they did. Bert Sugar, dead at 75, an institution in boxing, but also a great baseball writer as well, and he'll be sorely missed. Let's switch now to the NBA. Number of interesting games. I know a lot of people think the main game was the Jazz beating the Atlanta Hawks beating the New Orleans Jazz in four overtimes, and we'll get to that game in a minute. But the big game yesterday, I thought, which could very well be a preview of the NBA Finals, Miami goes up to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. 1 point Thunder lead after the first quarter, but after that, the Thunder just pulled away. Up by nine at the half, eventually win Thunder 103, Heat 87. Oklahoma City obviously very good at home. Kevin Durant, what can you say? 28 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and I thought did a good job. 2 steals and a block if you want to complete the line. I thought he did a good job defending LeBron James. James, 8 for 18 from the field, 17 points, only 3 rebounds, 7 assists. But I thought Durant showing, you know, everyone says what a great offensive player he is, and he is, but played a complete game, 9 rebounds, did a good job guarding James. James had 17, Durant had 28. Durant 11 for 20 from the field, but 4 for 5 from 3. Had an unbelievable game, the high scorer. Westbrook shot only 4 for 16, 13 points, 6 assists. Obviously, this is the top level game, and if you look at James and Wade for Miami, Durant and Westbrook for Oklahoma City, this was a game that showed you as good as Westbrook is, and he's very good. He's a step behind those top three guys, frankly. Did not have a good game, yet Oklahoma City still buries the Heat at home. I think this is the NBA Finals right here. Oklahoma City now 37-12. Miami now 35-12. Serge Ibaka, who's going to be a key to Oklahoma City's title run, 19 points, 10 rebounds. Perkins, who they got from the Celtics last year, really coming on. Kendrick Perkins, 16 points, 6 rebounds. They need production from him. Harden, of course, I think the best sixth man this year off the bench, 19 points, 6 for 7 from the floor, 6 for 7 from the foul line, hits his only three-pointer, has 6 assists and 3 rebounds. Harden is the key to that team, of course. And Oklahoma City buries the Heat 103-87. Dwayne Wade, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Bosch, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Shane Battier off the bench with 11, but not nearly enough. The Thunder up 9 at the half. Beat the Heat 103-87. It's a big win for Oklahoma City. Now, what many people view to be the big game, look, it's a quadruple overtime game, and that's a big deal. But the Atlanta Hawks playing their third game in 3 nights, that's what I thought was the big deal, frankly, that Atlanta could play their third game in 3 days, play 4 overtimes, and beat the Jazz 139-133. Joe Johnson in the first quarter alone was 8 for 8 for 18 points. He finishes with 37 points and 8 rebounds, playing 55 minutes. He obviously was the key as the Hawks beat the Jazz 139-133. Josh Smith with 22, 10 rebounds, 6 assists for Atlanta. Teague with 18 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, really a young player coming on. Williams off the bench with 16. Atlanta wins in four overtimes. Al Jefferson for Utah, 28 and 17 rebounds. Millsap, 25 points, 13 rebounds. Haywood, 19 points, 8 rebounds. Again, you play four overtimes, everybody's stats stuffs the stat page. But at the end of the day, Atlanta gets the win. Atlanta 139, the Jazz 133. Atlanta moves to 30 and 20. Utah drops to 26 and 23. Again, I think Tyrone Corbin is doing an excellent job there. I certainly didn't think Utah would be this good. Grizzlies getting back Zach Randolph now in the last week. That should help a lot. They go to Los Angeles to play the Lakers, who are very tough at home, but not yesterday. The Grizzlies beat the Lakers 102-96 at the Staples Center. Bynum with 30 points, only 4 rebounds, but 30 points, 11 for 16 from the floor. Kobe, 7 for 15 from the field, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Obviously, you want to see Kobe shooting a little more. Ramon Sessions, who's done a good job now as the point guard, 18 points, 5 assists. He started over Steve Blake. Pau Gasol, 16 points, 14 rebounds. Not enough. Grizzlies, 102. Lakers, 96. Rudy Gay with 18 points. O.J. Mayo off the bench with 16 points. Zach Randolph rounding back into shape. 10 points, 12 rebounds, and 27 minutes off the bench. Again, Memphis, who did very well, I thought, without Zach Randolph, is poised to make some kind of run now. They beat the Lakers in Los Angeles, where the Lakers are very tough. The Lakers now 30 and 19. Memphis now 26 and 21. Another interesting game, Philadelphia goes down to San Antonio to play the Spurs. Tim Duncan in street clothes, but the Spurs just, they know how to win. If they can have two of those three guys, you know, Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, they still seem to be able to do it. Yesterday being no exception. And San Antonio 93, Philadelphia 76. Duncan did not play. Tony Parker, 21 points, 7 assists. Blair with 19 points. Kawhi Leonard, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Ginobili off the bench, only 5 for 13 from the floor, but 11 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, Ginobili, obviously, the complete player. For the 76ers, Elton Brand, 14 and 9, but he's the high scorer with 14. Obviously, that's not going to get it. Lou Williams had a bad game, an excellent sixth man. Bad game for Philly off the bench, 4 for 14 for 9 points. The Spurs move to 33 and 14. Philadelphia drops to 27 and 22. Obviously, the Celtics and the Knicks trying to crawl up on Philly in that division, but the Spurs get the win. Spurs 93. 76ers, 76. Just a couple of other games briefly. Kevin Love goes for 30 points and 21 rebounds as the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets 117 to 100. Timberwolves climbing back towards 500, 24 and 26. Denver drops to 26 and 23. The Celtics beat the Washington Wizards 88 to 76. The Celtics with Avery Bradley starting in place of shooting guard Ray Allen. Bradley was unbelievable. He led the team with 23 points. Rondo had 11 assists. Crawford led the Wizards with 20. But the Celtics moved to 26 and 22 as they try and close in on Philly. Washington drops to 11 and 37. Portland beats Golden State 90 to 87. Felton leads the Trailblazers with 24 points and 7 assists as the Warriors go down again. I think the Monte Ellis trade in the Warriors organization is getting criticized a lot. But I think long-term that might be good for them because when they get Bogut next year as a big man, that's going to be a huge help to them. One other game in the NBA yesterday, the Suns bury the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Phoenix 108. The Cavaliers, 83. Morris leads the Suns with 22. Steve Nash, what can you say, leading the NBA in assists again. He had 13. Kyrie Irving led the Cavaliers with 16 points, but Phoenix moves to over 500. They've been playing well lately, trying to get into the playoff race in the tougher Western Conference, 108-83 over the now 17-29 Cleveland Cavaliers. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. A few baseball notes to talk about now. On the injury front, you probably heard about that terrible accident that Jabba Chamberlain had in just a bizarre way. He was playing at one of those kids' parks where they have, like, trampoline things that you jump up and down with your kid, and somehow Jabba suffered an ankle dislocation, which is a very serious injury. He would have been better off cracking a bone in his ankle. There are reports that he lost so much blood that they took him to the hospital and there was some fear for his life, but he's out of danger now. In fact, he left the hospital yesterday, but he was rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, and there is concern that he might miss the whole year. Some people are saying, oh, maybe July or August, but apparently those views are optimistic, and now it's twofold. Obviously, it's going to be hard for him to continue to rehab his arm. He can do exercise, but he's not going to be able to do any running, and certainly he's not going to be able to do any throwing, and he has to rehab his ankle. So this was like a freak accident. Now, some people are saying, you shouldn't really do these dangerous things, but if you know what these kinds of things are, they have those like blown-up things where you can jump. It's trampoline-like, or even on a trampoline with your kid. I mean, this is what he's got a little son, you know. I mean, this is what you do with your kids. It's hard to believe this happened, but it's hard to criticize Jabba, although he is getting criticized in New York, because after all, I guess it is New York. Some people thought it was too dangerous, but again, to me, sounds more like a freak accident than anything else. But Jamba Chamberlain will be out for a significant amount of time. Of course, the talk in New York is now with Andy Pettit coming back, do they move Phil Hughes to the bullpen? Originally, they wanted Hughes to be a starter. They seemingly have too many starters now, so we'll have to see what happens. But I don't think they can count on Jabba at all for this upcoming season. Chase Utley, he's had those problems with his knees for years now. He's not going to start the season. He does not require surgery, but again, it's a little scary if you're a Phillies fan that Chase Utley, who had the whole winter, frankly, to get over this stuff, comes back and is unable to go, will miss the rest of spring training, will miss the start of the season. No word when he'll be back, but they said he will not play opening day in a couple of weeks. So Chase Utley on bad knees, you know, that right side of the infield, Ryan Howard coming back from an Achilles, Chase Utley out now early. As good as the Phillies are pitching-wise, and I still think they're the best that there is in pitching, they're going to have their work cut out for them. As we've discussed at length, the NL East, a very tough division this year with everything that Miami's done. Atlanta, obviously, very good. The Nationals have improved, which leads me to the Mets and Johan Santana. He's going to pitch again today. He looked pretty good. I watched him throw a few innings last week. It looks like he has his stuff. His motion looks the same. If Santana is right, you drop a number one starter on the Mets, that's not going to make them win the NL East, but that's going to make them win, I'll say, 8 to 10 more games than they would have without Santana. And also David Wright making his first start of the spring. He's had some injuries also. You know, the Mets want him to be the face of the franchise. He's had a couple of down years, in my opinion, compared to where he was 3-4 years ago at Shea versus Citi Field. Now, they are moving the fences in at Citi Field this year, presumably to help guys like David Wright and Jason Bay. Certainly, Bay has to produce more, a very good player for the Red Sox, and before that, even for the Pirates. But has been a disappointment as a Met. He'd be the first to tell you that. But they're relying on Wright and Bay in the middle of that lineup. Wright makes his first start of the spring today. Johan Santana pitches today. So we'll see how that goes for the New York Mets. Another injury, Chipper Jones, who last week announced his retirement at the end of the 2012 season, now has to undergo surgery for a torn meniscus in his left knee. He'll miss at least the first 6 games of the regular season. He had a similar torn meniscus surgery on his right knee last year, and of course there's a ton of wear and tear on Chipper Jones. This is the kind of stuff that happens to you after 19 years in the big leagues. Chipper Jones, a gamer, I'm sure he'll be back as soon as he can be back, but he has decided that this will be his final year. A few baseball notes in terms of what went on the field. Dan Uggla of the Braves hit his 6th home run of the spring. Uggla, you know, feast or famine guy. You know the 33-game hitting streak, I think it was, he went on last year. But, you know, a 33-game hitting streak raised his average to like 220. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about Dan Uggla. He's a feast or famine guy, but he is playing very well and hitting very well in the spring. Derek Jeter hit a home run yesterday against the Tigers, went 2-for-3, his home run the opposite way. Jeter, who made an amazing comeback in the second half of the season, a lot of people thought it was, you know, he was terrible at the beginning and people were writing him off. He hit like 330 the second half of the season. A lot of people were saying it was because he had to get over the pressure of getting that 3,000th hit. I personally think it was he had 2 weeks off to be on the DL, and while Jeter hates to miss a game, I really think he was well-rested and re-energized when he came back, and I thought that, more than the 3,000th hit, was the key to him having an unbelievable second half. Hopefully Joe Girardi sees that and will give him more time off during the year. Jeter, a guy who hates to take a day off, but I think even he might understand last year, unless he really thinks he was under a ton of pressure to get 3,000 hits. He said he wasn't. I think he's going to realize that the rest really did help him well, and if he wants to play this year and next year, which is what his contract is for, and then beyond that, I think he's going to have to understand that he really needs to be rested during the season and still be fresh for the playoffs if and when the Yankees make the playoffs. Obviously, the Yankees almost always make the playoffs. But Jeter has to get some rest during the year, I think, to perform at the high level he performed at in the second half of the season. Albert Pujols hit his fourth home run in the spring. Angels beat the Rangers. So a lot going on in baseball. But really, you're just trying to stay healthy. To me, there's been an awful lot of injuries this year in spring training. But that's pretty much all the baseball news for now. A few things in the NFL. Sean Payton, the coach of New Orleans, who will not coach New Orleans this year, and Mickey Loomis, the GM of New Orleans, who is suspended for the first 8 games of the year, have both decided to attend the NFL owners meeting starting today. It'll be interested, you know, to see what Sean Payton will say. Whether that will be made public or not will be interesting. But there are also a number of rule changes that are going to be considered by the owners this week, including, you know, how they changed the overtime rule for the postseason. If the first team to get the ball kicked a field goal, the other team got the ball. Well, they now are going to consider whether they should bring that in for the regular season as well as the postseason. Obviously, it's here to stay in the playoffs, but apparently a number of owners want to bring it in for the regular season as well. And also there's a lot of talk about whether the trading deadline should be pushed back, and probably will be pushed back a couple of weeks. So teams that are very late in the season, like Houston when they lost Matt Schaub last year, couldn't make another move. So they're going to probably move the trading deadline back a few more weeks in order to allow teams to make trades if they get those terrible injuries very late in the season. Tim Tebow being introduced by the Jets today in New York, which is, again, bizarre on a number of counts. You have a backup quarterback who flew in by private jet last week who is having a press conference for the acquisition of a backup quarterback. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, joked that the Giants were going to have a press conference because they signed David Carr to come back as Eli Manning's backup. But again, it just shows you what Tebow is. He's a bigger-than-football guy. You know, already a lot of people are saying this is the end for Mark Sanchez. How can Sanchez handle this pressure? When the Tebow fans start clamoring, if Sanchez remotely plays poorly early on, that's going to be a huge problem for him. You know, Rex Ryan saying all the right things. Tebow's going to be our wildcat guy. We're going to have a two-pronged attack. People are going to have to, you know, prepare for two quarterbacks, prepare for the wildcat. But again, I think that misses the big point. And to me, the big point is, what is this going to do to Mark Sanchez's confidence? He did well the first 2 years. He became an average to better than average NFL quarterback. To me, he regressed last year tremendously. The Jet defense is not the dominant defense it was 3 seasons ago, or the excellent defense it was 2 seasons ago. It's more like the okay to good defense of a year ago, and that's not going to help Sanchez either. So there's an awful lot here. Obviously, if things go bad early, it's going to be a disaster, and especially in New York. Again, they didn't even know who's going to introduce Tebow today at the press conference, because everybody's in at the owners' meetings. So Woody Johnson, the owner, is not around. Rex Ryan is down there. Mike Tannenbaum is down there. So it is a little bizarre. Frankly, I'm surprised they didn't put this off till yesterday. But again, the Jets kind of do things in a dysfunctional way. Maybe Tebow just wanted to get it out of the way, frankly. But whatever, Tim Tebow introduced today, and you're going to hear a lot about that, obviously mainly in New York, but I think all over the country, because Tim Tebow's fan base is national in scope. I heard Ed Werder on ESPN say that the reason Tebow went to New York as opposed to Jacksonville, his hometown, is that he felt really wanted by the Jets hierarchy, not necessarily by Sanchez, but by the Jets ownership and coaches, and he didn't get that feeling in Jacksonville. And apparently behind the scenes, some people have said that Tebow feels that he can get the starting job in New York, and I think that's right. I mean, if Sanchez falters even a little early, if they're 0-2, 1-3, and Sanchez throws, I don't know, six INTs in the first three or four games, people are going to be, I don't know if they'll be buying billboards in New York because they're a lot more expensive in New York, I'm sure. But there'll be some clamoring early on if things don't go well for the New York Jets. Want to get to the National Hockey League now. A number of interesting games yesterday, down to pretty much the last six or seven games for most teams, battling for playoff spots, et cetera. The Devils go out to Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. The Penguins, behind Fleury, beat New Jersey 5-2. You know, Brodeur having a good year, but obviously not the Brodeur of old. Pittsburgh 5, New Jersey 2. Chris Kunitz with his 23rd. Jordan Staal with his 23rd in the first period to give Pittsburgh a 2-1 lead. Pascal Dupuis with his 23rd. Then Ilya Kovalchuk brings the Devils within 1-3-2 in the third period with his 32nd. But in the third period, Sidney Crosby scores his fourth of the year. And then Evgeny Malkin, leading the league in scoring, probably the MVP, scores his 46th of the year late in the third. Pittsburgh 5, New Jersey 2. Obviously, Pittsburgh making a run at the New York Rangers for the most points in the Eastern Conference. Minnesota Wild go down to Washington to play the Capitals. The Capitals behind Braden Holtby, who was just called up recently when Thomas Vokoun got hurt. Holtby shuts out Minnesota 3-0. Holtby was 10-2 last year for Washington, was just called up recently. Now he's 2 wins, 1 loss, 1 overtime loss. Again, Vokoun is hurt. Washington 3, Minnesota nothing. Jason Chimera scored what proved to be the winning goal, his 19th of the year in the second period. Matthew Perrault scored his 14th. Ovechkin gets an assist. And then in the third period, Ovechkin, who's been on a hot streak since there were some critical articles in the Washington papers about him, scores his 36th goal of the year in the third period. Washington 3, Minnesota nothing. There was like a negative article about Ovechkin that said one of the problems is he lives with his mother and his family is bad and bad for him. And, you know, it strikes me as ridiculous. But Ovechkin has now scored 9 goals in 7 games since that article appeared in the Washington papers. And he certainly does. I've seen him play a few times in the last week or so. He certainly does look like the Ovechkin of old. He even came back and made an excellent defensive play. He assisted on Perrault's goal. He scored a goal of his own. Washington 3, Minnesota nothing. Washington battling for the 8th and final playoff spot in the East with the Buffalo Sabres right now. The Capitals and the Sabres both have 84 points. Washington has the tiebreaker, but a huge game in the NHL tomorrow night. Buffalo comes down to Washington to play the Capitals, and obviously the winner of that game will go ahead in the race for the 8th and final playoff spot. Washington Capitals 3, Minnesota Wild nothing. A few other games to talk about quickly. The Nashville Predators bury the Blackhawks in Chicago. Nashville 6, Chicago.